Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, J.C. Cole. You know that rabbits are mammals, right?
Well, I didn't really think about it.
Well, I'm thinking about it because if I'm going to plant a garden and the rabbits eat more than I eat, at some point I'm going to eat the rabbit.
Well, actually, that's a good point. The five best animals for prepping to raise, one is a chicken, ducks, rabbits, milking goats, and pigs. Right. Why? They can all be foragers, and they all multiply like rabbits.
Rabbits.
Rabbits. So during the break, we were discussing another U.S. refinery goes up in flames, and you have 45 major refinery explosions and fires reported over the last month. I think
45 in 30 days.
That's what the article said, and then you tracked it down. The fire was in Louisiana,
May 8th. Okay, Louisiana.
So we see that there's attacks on energy. And of course, we need energy, especially the farmers. You know, that we need diesel to produce food. Right? And if you just actually look at across the board, we're being boiled like a frog with our food supply, where I think we'd mentioned last week that, you know, 60% of American farmers are in a drought. But we know for sure we have the ability to manipulate weather. So why are we in a drought if we can manipulate weather? Right? And then the other one was, what was it? I just picked it up. Are you starting to get it now? National wheat harvest will be a 55-year low in 2026. Okay, so that's wheat, and I think you know the cattle issue better than I do. We're at the lowest amount of cattle since what, 1950?
Yes. And people are selling cows in my country left and right. Not only did we have the fires in Nebraska that burned 1.3 million acres, 100% cow country, the drought has now caused others to sell cows. I mean, people are just kind of piecing them off because we're May 13th, and it just doesn't look good at all for grass. And I don't know actually where the cows are going because, as you mentioned, 60% of the farmers, and you go as far west as Hank Vogler in Nevada, it's severe drought. Montana's the same way. North Dakota, the only little bright spot, a garden spot. Otherwise, you got to get east towards the Mississippi River.
You know, who's reporting on this? I mean, we're getting attacked. And of course, now people are paying attention to what's happening with pharmaceuticals, right? You know, so it looks like we're being attacked on all sides, our health, our food, our water supply, energy, and finance. Right. Speaking of finance, you know, one of my favorite subjects, right? Gold actually dropped $10 an ounce since last week, but silver rose $10 an ounce. And so the ratio, which we have been pointing out for a very long time, went from 60 to 53. In other words, for 1 ounce of gold, you can get now 53 ounces of silver, where last week it was 60 ounces of silver, right? So it looks like silver's on the move.
So I got to thank you because of your weekly silver and precious metals education. I did an interview this week, Trent on the Loose, yesterday with a gentleman who's in the gold and silver market, the precious metals. He sells it for a company, Noble Investments. And because of your constant information, I was able to conduct a more intelligent interview. But he said something that I've never picked up from you. Maybe I just didn't resonate on it. But obviously I knew that the ratio of gold to silver price should be 15 to 1. Have you not always told us that? historically, it has been 15 to 1. Is that a better way of phrasing it?
Correct.
He told me, and I didn't realize this, that in Earth, the ratio of the amount of gold to silver is 15 to 1.
Yeah, we actually did. I did mention that.
I'm sure you did.
Because one of my degrees is geology.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it just makes sense that the ratio is 15 to 1 if that's what you dig up, then... in a normal balance, it would be 15 to 1, right? And now it's, well, today it's, what, 53 to 1. So that's saying it's way out of whack. And it actually got up over 100 to 1, I think, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, when you started talking about that, it was for sure 90 to 1.
Correct. And So some of the belief, and because we're humans and we'll react to emotion, when it starts to swing back to 15 to 1, it may actually go past that. And for instance, Bix Weir, who stays on this subject pretty much, thinks that it even could go 1 to 1.
Woof.
Right. And so listen, at that point, if it's at 5 to 1, all right, I'm going to change my silver into gold because the pendulum will always swing back.
Oh, yeah. Historically, that's just the way you got to go. But I know
exactly.
This is like a farmer mentality right here, JC. If corn goes to $12 a bushel, the farmer doesn't sell because if it's at 12, I know it's going to 15. And then it'll be back at 4.5 before they had the time to pull the trigger.
Yes, that's, let's say, stubborn farmer mentality to some degree. So I actually did that when I started to see the fall of the financial system. This was 20 years ago in Latvia. I exited equipment and bought gold. Okay. And then when the ratio of gold to silver got so high, I just simply exchanged it to silver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and now it's going to be, I think, swinging back. Right. And so, the value of silver percentage wise, in my opinion, and the opinion of the experts, will outperform gold. Right. And
you mentioned gold went down a bit. Is silver still around 85?
It's up to 88 this morning. Right. And so I think the biggie will be when it breaks to 100 again.
Right.
And then people will start to pay attention. By the way, there's something. The last time really gold and silver took off was like, what, 1980, I think 82, when silver broke $50 an ounce, the Hunt brothers. Okay. So at that particular time, and gold was just about 850, I think. So at that particular time, the only people in the market were the Americans and the Europeans. Okay. So that would only be maybe, I don't know, 400 million people. Well, now the entire world is in the market. You now have the Russians, you have the Chinese, you have the Indians, you have the Brazilians. So you've now got like 4 billion people competing for that limited resource. So what happens? Well, obviously it'll take off. And there was an old saying back from the 1970s that a Corvette Stingray was a poor man's Ferrari. All right. Well, by the way, I really like Corvettes. But
did you buy one?
My dad did.
Oh.
Yeah, my dad had a 1972 454 engine Corvette.
Anybody
race
him?
Oh, yeah, that was great. I was 18. What a great time. Hey, Dad, can I borrow the car? Oh, man. But then again, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon, right? And that thing got 10 miles to the gallon, but but it had like 400 pounds of torque. It was massive. Anyway, moving forward.
My second pickup, my first pickup was a little half ton GMC, I don't know, six bang or something. My second pickup was a one ton Chevy Dually with a 454. That puppy would pull anything.
That's true. That's right. Now I gotta admit, I have the and you also, we have the Ford 7.3 liter diesel. It's like, that is a beast, right? Right. I just wanted to make sure that I supported all the petroleum companies. Right.
Yeah, I have one of those that is sitting. Some friend claims he's going to put a propane tank on it and get it running, but he never shows up.
Well, keep at it, right? And what looks like it's happening in the gold and silver is the ETF exchange traded funds chaos is continuing, and this is the paper market that's really controlling the price. And when the paper market collapses, which I think a lot of people believe will happen, you will see the price of physical skyrocket.
I think it's
Just
foolish to own paper, gold or silver. If you don't have it in inventory, you don't have anything. That's my opinion,
correct.
but I'm not a market analyst, so use your own opinion or consult an expert. I'm Trent Lewis, JC Cole. We're back with more after this. Certified Piedmontese, creating the opportunity for you, the consumer, to have the most tender beef supply possible. How and why? Well, we'll just shorten it to say the breed. The Piedmontese breed does possess the myostatin gene, which is responsible for tenderness, so it's a genetic selection. There's no manipulation. It's all genetic selection, selecting these tender sires that sire every single calf in the system. That's how it works and how we can make the assessment that every calf is tested and we know that it was sired by the Piedmontese bulls and it's going to be tender every time. You don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door, and tender beef is not a fashion. It's going to be here forever. Anybody who's tried it, they're like, how do I get more? CPBeef.com.